Oh,
along
what a,
with
what a,
it.
what a fun thing we do tonight. So welcome to A Course in Miracles. And this is going to be another gift from Jesus in this. We're starting a new section tonight. And he's going to revisit that term reason. Remember, we hit that a couple of weeks ago, and it was kind of vague. What does Jesus mean by reason? I mean, you know, you kind of got it. If you think it means sanity versus insanity, and reason is sane and Holy Spirit, you got it. It's true. But he just kind of had to pick a word in the English language to talk around, because this is a spiritual journey. We're actually talking about a miracle in your spiritual awakening. A miracle is a non-linear, a shift in perception. A miracle is a movement, an essential movement from limit to unlimited, or from time to timeless. A miracle is a shift from absolute, you know, dimensional to non-dimensional. A miracle does not make sense. A miracle does not make sense to the ego. The ego is a linear thing. Linear means A and then B and then C only. Non-linear is abstract. It is not a clean progression, like one, then two, then three, then four. The ego becomes unstable around creative environments. So it tries to make everything linear and predictable. And if something becomes uncomfortable, it has a way of making things smaller. It's called fear. When things get too creative or too loving or too sharing, the ego will contract with fear automatically. This is how it preserves its independent little status. The ego must contract when it gets around love. It must. You see, because love breaks the hard barrier between the lover and the loved. And the ego is the hard barrier. The ego is you not sharing, but defending and protecting your independent self. It's not a sin. It's really quite fun. And you've worked very hard to get where you are. But you've had to lie to yourself to accomplish being in this body. You've had to lie to yourself. And much of that lying had to do with denying yourself of what you really want. Of course, because you are love. You are from love and you're for love. But love doesn't nicely fit in the dream of separation, where you can be a separate little thing wandering around and cause and effect are separated, so that you can attack and defend with success, so that you can project a substitute for love, a substitute for creativity, but really fun. Like playing a game on the field where everybody agrees there's a ball and there's two sides and there's goals at either end. And everybody agrees on the rules. There's nothing wrong with that. It's made up. People can get hurt, but it's meaningless. But it's fun, right? It's fun. This is what you're doing now. Don't be hard on yourself. You get into meditations, you get into these big meditations where you start to have existential thoughts about what's going on. Don't be hard on yourself. You're a juvenile creator having fun. Nothing is wasted. Nothing is wasted. at this point, you've come to A Course in Miracles. At this point, you have been traveling on a spiritual journey. You have been awakening from the limits. You started to have thoughts that maybe time isn't real. You start to have thoughts that maybe space isn't what I think it is. You start to have thoughts that maybe these physical objects aren't really separate from everything. You started to have these thoughts that whatever love is, it's more important than you gave it credit. You started to have these thoughts that when you get still, just maybe your meditation lasts 45 minutes, but there's some minute in there, one maybe moment, where you lost track of time and you actually felt free, really free. You've had these thoughts that said, now that was truth. You are on a spiritual journey. You are on a path of awakening. You can't turn back. It's part of what you are. It's part of who you are, even in this dream. So, you know, you're on your way. You're on your way. There's only 9 of us here and not 990 or 900 or 9 million. Because the earth is a place of separation. It's a place of promises where you can play the game and gain points. You can gain points in this game. Don't you want the points? Well, you did. You're not so interested anymore in the prize of the world if you're on a spiritual journey. Compared to the average person who's seeking more health, more wealth, and more wisdom here on the planet. Something is calling you. Some light, some reason, we call it in Course in Miracles. Reason will tell you. Reason is calling you. Because when you have a thought, for example, it says, as you give, you receive. As I give, I receive. As I give patience, I receive patience. As I give fear, I become fearful. As I give trust, I feel trustworthy immediately, right? This is a fundamental truth of reason, of reason. It doesn't matter the detail, does it? When I say, as I give patience, I receive patience. Immediately. It's a beautiful thing. It's a metaphysical fundamental about the mind and all your thoughts. You actually live in mind. You don't live in your body. You actually live in mind. So this is fundamental. This reason that we're talking about tonight, it's fundamental, metaphysical on you. And all of you have found some way, somehow, if you're studying Course in Miracles this long, you've been touched by the lightness of being, the lightness of the idea of spirit, instead of being limited to just that body. Somehow you went beyond got out of your cage, looked through a crack in the wall. Somehow, somewhere it happened. So you become ready. You've studied all sorts of spiritual stuff. You've read all sorts of books. You've done all sorts of meditations. You've met all sorts of people, inspiring people maybe. You've become ready. There's this small phrase in the book. It says it three times, I think. It says, readiness is not mastery. Oh, shucks. Shouldn't it just be enough that you want it? Please. Please. Peace and love all the time. Thank you. I'll just wait now for it to happen. In India, you'll see people who are doing static things to show their devotion to that little desire. This guy has hand up like this for 37 years. Never puts it down. That's it. That's what he does. Develop these muscles and everything. You really can't, but doesn't have to try anymore. It won't come down. Showing his devotion because he just said, okay, yeah, I really want it. I know it's there. I want it. Please. He's ready, but he's still expecting it to come to him and not through him. Come to him, I suspect. That he would just wait there, and there will be a vision, a voice will come to him and will change him. He's going to be waiting a long time with that arm up. 37 years so far. Well, that's 20 years ago. Yes, Jacqueline.
I think I just understood when you talk about the spirit of love, the spirit of charity, the spirit of, you know how you were talking to us about that?
Yes.
Trying to grok it. So it, when you were talking about the giving and receiving of patience, so I realized, you know, in the form, give, receive, but what it really is, patience, of course, is when it becomes one, it's the abstract of what we are. We become charity. The abstract charity, that's what we are, which has nothing to do with form. So maybe that's how it comes through us. And I realize that's the spirit of charity. We are spirit, and giving and receiving charity, or that is what I am, what we are, a spirit. Does that sort
Bravo,
of?
Bravo, Jacqueline, you got it.
But I couldn't quite get your spirit of this and spirit of that. So it just kind of hit me.
You got it. You got it exactly.
Yeah. And I got a real, just now I just had a little sense of being, you know, what it might be to be charity, the abstract quality of charity, how that would, you know, that'd be great if I could do those, all those qualities that are listed in the Teacher's Manual and just be that abstract. That would be wonderful if we could all be that. Or
yes.
Or it's not that we be it, that we, well, we just are, right?
We just are.
Okay, that's all that I want to say.
Brilliant, Jacqueline. You know, you've hit it over the fence again. It's that simple. It's too simple to say in so few words as you did. But it's exactly as you said. When you recognize that there's a spirit of charity, there's a spirit of patience. It does not matter for what you're being patient. That's back into the ego that would put limits of 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, or some endpoint. No, it's the idea of patience itself is love. The idea of patience is loving. The idea of patience is loving. It's so important that you feel this because it's not what you're patient for. That's back into form. It's back into what the Buddhists call attachment. And you get hooked like a fish and pulled right out of the water. No, Jacqueline's got it. Jacqueline, you got it. The spirit versus the material. The spirit versus the limit. The spirit versus the goal. You see, there is creation and you are it. There is love. But love doesn't do anything. You are the doer of love. That's your job description. That's for what you've come into being for. God does not know patience. God does not know joy. How could God possibly know joy? The infinite, the eternal, the creator can't know joy. That's your job. For this you are created. So Jacqueline, you are the convergence. You are the convergence of creation that can be the spirit of joy. That can recognize the spirit of charity and love it. That can recognize the spirit of patience and say, this is good. And it is beautiful. And it is true that I should be patient with another, that I should be tolerant of another's differences, as I am different, actually, from the other, as the observer, right? As you work your way toward oneness, the differences dissolve. But this is not living. That's dying. To have all the differences disappear, you'd have to be dead. Is that good news or bad news? You are created as a creator forever, an extension of God. So your way back home is through truth, through reason. Your journey, where you make advances, will be just as you saw Jacqueline do right now. And as you have done all your life, when you recognize the truth, you get a little feeling. It's kind of beyond words, but it's, oh. I realized for me that when I have these awakenings, like being the spirit, not the spirit to do or to get or evolving, but the spirit itself of honesty. Oh, it feels so good. It feels so good. Because it's truthful and it's good and it's beautiful. Honesty is beautiful. Even as, you know, as you go living it, it can be quite complicated and difficult. But I recognize that the truth value, the foundation of reason, is truth. The truth value is because you know that it's true. You know that it's true. You know that to be charitable, to be patient, to be trusting, is those are qualities of love. You know it. To be open-minded, as you would, open-minded, that means not narrow and demanding and blocking, is loving. To be honest, that takes some kind of a courage and trust, doesn't it? Trust, wow, to be trusting, these are attributes of love. I didn't mention any details about any scenarios, and I hope you're feeling that these are characteristics of love. They are universal qualities of your very being. The truth about you is that you prefer trust, honesty, gentleness, joy, defenselessness, patience, generosity. Don't you love being generous? Come on, tell me. Tell me the times when you allowed yourself to be generous. Wasn't it just a celebration of being? Faithfulness. Faithfulness, a type of consistency and a celebration of sticking to the truth and to your target, your goal. It's a wonderful thing that you like to have and rely on. These are qualities of love. You should recognize this as what you're called to do and be in every situation. Reason will tell you this is really you. And all the other things, fear, jealousy, a vulnerability, anything that makes you feel small is not. That's ego. Jacqueline, what do you got?
Well, as you were talking, I realized the qualities that, like charity and all these things, are really qualities that only have to do with us in form here. Right? I mean, love, maybe there's a spirit of love, a spirit of light. So all those other are describing us, and those would just dissolve or disappear. I mean, those are just words. Does that make sense? Like they're relating to how we can be in form with other and the illusion, but they're not really. I mean, if you go back to the oneness, there wouldn't be any, you know, you don't have to be defenselessness or have charity or anything. You just are love and light. So maybe the spirit is love and light, eternal life, something like that.
In order to go back to oneness, you can't be defenseless. You have to have defenselessness in your mind where defense is not even possible or needed.
But won't those disappear, though, once you're in oneness? That won't have any meaning at all, right? All those words we're putting on these qualities of being here.
Turns out that these qualities would never go away because you are not only alive, but you are life itself manifesting. So that when you get back to oneness, it isn't that you disappear, my dear. You are carrying the light of love forever. This is what you actually are. You are not nothing. Yes, the concept of going back to a ball of light where you disappear in the ocean as a drop, you lose sight of everything. But that's like death. And Course in Miracles teaches that
nothing is taken away from you.
Nothing is taken away. And death, the idea of death, is an invention of the ego. Short sentence now. Death denies the existence of life. I'll slow down a little bit there because it's very important. The ego says death is the end of something. Course in Miracles is calling you to spiritual awareness. It takes a miracle, that's what we're doing, but spiritual awareness and the spirit of life, as Jacqueline beautifully described, the spirit does not die. You see, death is an invention of the ego. Nothing real can be threatened. Death would be a pretty big threat, right? Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. Now, there is the peace of God. The real stuff exists. Jacqueline, you are real. Your name's not Jacqueline, okay? But you are real. I mean, there's a lot more coming in your awakening. But one thing, the Course does say there's a limit to your mind, the only limit to your mind. This is pretty important. The only limit to your mind is that you cannot stop being what you are. The most important part of that statement is A-R-E, That's a derivative of am or being. You are. You're not what you appear to be in the mirror, but that's a small point at this level. You are. And you are love. And you're not a body. You are free. And you are still as God created you. God created you loving. Reason will tell you, God created you perfectly trusting. So Jacqueline was, you see how fast she went to, wait a minute. You really can't have these interactions like tolerance. Tolerance of what? Everything is trusting. Everything is trustworthy, she says, in heaven. And you go back to oneness. Jacqueline's doing the math so fast. You see her? She says, these are all attributes of like being in bodies. Honesty, tolerance, open-mindedness for something you don't already know. What? Is that what we're talking about? Something you don't already know? So she said, no, none of this, when you return to oneness, none of this is applicable. Half true. Half true. Love is, and life is, and this concept of light, it's another code word, but you've run across it in your spiritual journey, and it's all over Course in Miracles. Light is, folks. It's a creation. You are a combination of those things. You are the manifestation of God into being. Do you see? Let's have Jesus phrase for us what the beep happened. Go to page 101, paragraph 6. Time to go to that page again. Front of the book, in the text. I love this paragraph. It's in a section called The Only Answer. So it's kind of pointing at, this is the only answer you actually need. Sure, we got more answers. You got questions, we got answers. I got 1,300 pages. You want more? We got more. But this is all you really need. There will come a day when you look at what we're about to read or something like it, and you'll say, I got it. It was always the case. I now see the rest of the book in its entirety. Okay, take a look. Page 101 in the text, paragraph 6, you know, it's a meaty section, but we'll just jump into paragraph 6. Jacqueline, I got your mute. Would you read for us that paragraph?
Here then, the one answer of the Holy Spirit to all questions the ego raises. You are a child of God, a priceless part of his kingdom, which he created as part of him. Nothing else exists, and only this is real. You have chosen a sleep in which you have had bad dreams, but the sleep is not real, and God calls you to awake.
Period. That's enough. Frankly, that's enough. It's all right there. Don, would you read that same sentences, I got your mute. Paragraph 6.
Here then, the one answer of the Holy Spirit to all the questions the ego raises. You are a child of God, a priceless part of his kingdom, which he created as part of him. Nothing else exists, and only this is real. You have chosen a sleep in which you have had bad dreams, but the sleep is not real, and God calls you to awake.
Period. Complete teaching. This is Jesus just putting it in English. It's about a good summary of what happened and what's happening. Let me tell you how literal this is. I mean, it's coarse, you know, dreams everything. But let's look at this. Okay, here then the one answer, the Holy Spirit, to all the questions the ego raises. Remember, Holy Spirit, you could put a W in front of the H and call it Holy Spirit because it's about wholeness. It comes from the oneness perspective. It is the spirit of oneness. And as Jacqueline was teaching us earlier, when you access the spirit of anything, you really access it, you become it. You no longer have an objective. You have a devotion. You have a service to love. Charity, patience, trust, kindness, gentleness. Look, this is a short sentence I got from a Sufi book, but I thought it's just reason, it's just logic. It's this. Kindness is transformative because kindness itself is kind. That's from Inayat Hazrat Khan, wonderful Sufi teacher. Anything that guy wrote is worth a read. He got it. He was awake and he wrote and he wrote beautifully. Inayat Hazrat Khan. He says, kindness is transformative because kindness itself is kind. Do you see? That's what we're learning in A Course in Miracles. As you give, you receive. Reason will tell you that if you are really patient, you will get the benefit of being patient, even if it's you're waiting on somebody else, right? As you give, you receive, but instantly. If you're trusting, you feel the power of trust and the call for love that it is. Same for tolerance and gentleness and joy and defenselessness and faithfulness and all the rest. There's 10 of them in your manual for teachers, all lined out for you. So, Holy Spirit versus the unholy spirit. No W and no H, but a small S. That's the ego. See, not whole. Still a spirit, though, right? Because when you believe in ego, you are the ego, right, Jacqueline? When you follow the vision or the ideas of Christ or the thoughts you hold with God, then you are the Holy Spirit. You are patience. You are. When you forgive, when you really forgive, it's a release. And then for a moment, you are the release. Because you're living it. You see? You're living it. You're manifesting reason. That's what life is in its various forms and ways. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. It's beautiful, beautiful. Unending. And when you mix love back in there, it's a give and only give. Reason will tell you that this is creation and of love and beautiful. All right, so 101, paragraph 6. The ego, 6. Here then the one answer of the Holy Spirit to all the questions the ego raises. Here it goes. You are a child of God. So you're not God. Is that bad news? Am I breaking it to you too rough here? You're not surprised. Good. Now, you're a child of God, therefore, you are 100% God. Of course, right? But you're not God. The difference is God came first. The difference is God, you came of or from God. Whatever God is, not that important right now. You are 100% God. But you're not God. Right? You've already had this thought.
Because okay. you have to play carefully with saying God came first, too.
Yes.
Yeah, that puts him into the temporal, which is not, that's a confusion of levels.
You bet. Yeah, I'm busted. I'm just using conventional language to move along.
You caught yourself.
But you're absolutely right, Tim. You're absolutely right. Okay. You are a child of God. So there is your definition of from where you came. Next comment. A priceless part, inestimable, priceless part. I mean, Jesus is laughing as he says the word priceless, but he's got to put it in English so that you understand what you mean to God. A priceless part of his kingdom, which he created, and we've learned in Course in Miracles, by this time in this page, you have already learned that creations are for real. Truth is created and then fantasies are made. You make up things that come and go, but what is true is permanent, true forever, always, in every circumstance. It's beyond measure. You are that. You have been created. Ah, beautiful. Then he just hits the same nail a few times that we've hit before. He says, nothing else exists. Okay, that's a key word, exists. It's a key word because you are struggling and existing as a separate being. Exist, the root of that from Latin means to stand out, existare, to stand out or to be above or different from other pieces, to be obvious. So you think that you exist. The only thing that does actually exist is the extension of God. Nothing else exists. That's it. That's it. Nothing else exists than the creation of God. His kingdom. That's it. Okay. And then he modifies that. He says, by the way, in case you weren't paying attention to the previous sentence, which he created as part of him. But then he's a child. You're a child, right? So we already knew that. Child of God. He's being redundant so that you don't miss the key points here of what you actually are. Because he knows you've lost your way. Nothing else exists, only this is real. You have chosen, here's what happened. You have chosen a sleep. Chosen, that's a volitional term. You're not a victim. You chose a sleep. You made a sleep with your powers in which you have had bad dreams. But the sleep was made in your musings. The sleep was made, not created. The sleep is not real, and God calls you to awake. So there's a complete philosophy and explanation of what's going on here. It's kind of remedial Course in Miracles, I guess. It's not our topic for tonight, but I do love bringing it up every once in a while. Anybody have any questions on that little paragraph? Do you want to see just a little more at this level of discussion? Let's do it. Go to page 583.
Isn't that the kind of paragraph that you kind of have to feel like it comes from your mind as a feeling rather than as a thought?
Yeah, I'm going to get into that in a moment because Jacqueline's going to share with us something that happened to her the other day. Thank you, Luann. Yes, yes. 584. 584, paragraph 12. This is in your text. So what's going on here? What, from the perspective of Jesus in A Course in Miracles, is happening? Let's take a look. Let's have Jesus talk us through it. Emily, when you get there, would you read for us paragraph 12? I got your mute.
Brother separated from yourself, an ancient enemy, a murderer who stalks you in the night and plots your death, yet plans that it be lingering and slow. Of this you dream.
Is this a world that you know? Where this, it's attack and defense? I mean, he puts it really graphically here to make the point. There are times in your life when either you're being killed or you'd like to kill. I mean, isn't the world rough enough that you've had these thoughts in some way or another? But from his perspective of love, this is any thought of loss is death. Please continue.
Yet underneath, this dream is yet another in which you become the murderer, the secret enemy, the scavenger, and the destroyer of your brother and the world alike. Here is the cause of suffering, the space between your little dreams and your reality. The little gap you do not even see, the birthplace of illusions and of fear, the time of terror and of ancient hate, the instant of disaster, all are here. Here is the cause of unreality, and it is here that it will be undone.
Kind of nice that you don't have to go anywhere. He's calling out that the cause of unreality, you find the problem and the solution in the same place. This is wonderful news. And then Timothy, would you, you're already unmuted. Timothy, would you read paragraph 13? Here comes.
You are the dreamer of the world of dreams. Say it again. You are the dreamer of the world of dreams. No other cause it has, nor ever will. Nothing more fearful than an idle dream has terrified God's Son and made him think that he has lost his innocence, denied his Father, and made war upon himself. So fearful is the dream, so seeming real, he could not wake into reality without the sweat of terror and the scream of mortal fear, unless a gentler dream preceded his awakening and allowed his calmer mind to welcome, not to fear, the voice that calls with love to waken him. A gentler dream in which his suffering was healed and where his brother was his friend. God willed he waken gently and with joy and gave him means to waken without fear. That's one of the most reassuring paragraphs in the whole text. I don't have to be afraid of waking with the scream.
Yes.
Into thrust into reality against
yes.
my will.
Yes.
Which is what I associate with the experience of dying.
Yes. This is why people come around again. You are a creator after all, and if you're afraid of something, you'll whip up some safer thing. So, die before you die. let your mind let go of this body before your body lets go of your brain. Die before you die, find out that you're actually really life. You're actually not a body. You're free. You remain as God created you. Do that the sooner the better and enjoy the rest of this body because it is a fantastic accomplishment. Tim, why don't you read us just two more sentences from the next paragraph.
Accept the dream he gave instead of yours.
Now that is a practical how-to.
You change the emphasis. Accept the dream he gave instead of yours.
Mm-hmm.
It is not difficult to change a dream once the dreamer has been recognized.
All right, that's a big, big sentence. That's a big sentence.
Yeah, I've had that happen to me.
Good. Imagine how easy it is to change your mind. Is anything really happening at all?
No.
I mean, you change your mind all the time. As soon as you find out something's not true, one of my favorite ones is that the sun comes up in the east and sets in the west. No, it doesn't. The sun doesn't move at all. We're spinning. So it looks like it comes up, but actually the east goes down and we follow it, right? The earth's spinning. We're on a ball that's spinning. And the surface of the ball is spinning. Does it take 24 hours for a day? Is that right? 24 hours for one day? And uh-huh. It's about a little over 24,000 miles at the equator. That's 1,000 miles an hour. The Earth is spinning on the surface at the equator 1,000 miles an hour. It takes one day for the Earth to turn all the way around. So it means it has to be going 1,000 miles an hour. You take a thought like that, you go, well, now that you mention it, that's right. And you're sitting comfortably in your chair. Why aren't you flying, scooped right off, right? You might have to think about some of those things, and you might even go get into physics for it. But rest assured that it does take a day for the Earth to turn all the way around, and it's a very big ball. You have to go 1,000 miles an hour to get all the way around the Earth in one day. And the sun is just sitting out there. Sun did not come up, did it? But you don't have a problem with this because everybody's learned this in school. So even though it's maybe jarring to remember that that's what's actually going on, you accepted the truth. You're not fighting with me. Might be a little uncomfortable because it's easier to just think that you're not moving and everything else is.
It's like in this body, that's what it feels like.
Right? It's designed to do that. Comfortable. It's easy to change your mind. Once you realize you're the dreamer, how hard do you think it's going to be for you to dream differently or to awake, to stop dreaming and say, well, let me go to the dreamer now and just wake up to truth. I'm dreaming. You see what a difference it is for your awareness to come into focus and your consciousness to go out of focus. That's what happens when you wake up. You're conscious in your dream. You become aware of dreaming. You wake up. You're free again of whatever it is you were dreaming is no longer true. Completely untrue, not a little bit. So, as an example of how this is felt, how this is experienced, Jacqueline, would you share with us what happened to you yesterday?
Okay.
Hang on, we got to unmute you now.
Oh, okay. I was unmuted. I was just thinking now that this experience I had, I mean, just thinking about the vast, infinite possibilities of awakening. This is such a tiny little...
It's tiny.
It's so tiny, you know, but anyway.
Stay with it. Stay with the tiny, please.
Okay. So over time, I've been, asking Holy Spirit and to help me heal. 30 years ago, I had an assault. So, you know, it was 30 years ago, but it was something that was lodged in my being and my thought and my mind. So first thing is it came to me. I hadn't really thought about it recently because I felt like I told even Andrew, I felt like I had healed most of it, that most of it I'd let go, but I felt like there might be a little bit. So in my contemplation meditation, it came up and I saw, oh, there it is. And it was felt lodged in my heart. I felt very panicked. Oh, wow. It's lodged right in my heart center. It feels very. And I thought, oh, they talk about these experiences being recorded in the body. It was just this. So, and I started crying, feeling the pain of it. And I said, how to Holy Spirit and Jesus, how can this be nothing? And just instantly, it just is. That was the answer. And when that answer came, you know, some aspect of myself knew the truth of that, absolutely. And it just was instant release. I feel like it's released completely now. And now, you know, as I kind of go about, you know, how can this be nothing? It just is. It's just there for me now. It feels like a glimpse of that understanding, which is very powerful for me now. And then a friend asked me, I had that meditation and I went for a walk with a friend and my friends are curious about my experiences so I shared that he wanted to know something maybe that I had, you know, awakened to a little bit, you know, he knows it. So I shared that with him and then just it came for me as he wanted to know how I saw or thought of this person, his name, probably not his real name, Mike, you know, and it just came from me spontaneously. It's myself. I just saw that experience and that other as myself. And that also felt like a real truth and a real freedom. So I guess that's how I would express. Hard to put into words, but.
Hard to put into words, but a very, very simple thought.
Yes. And, you know, I was saying that the Course in Miracles has, you know, how can this be nothing? It is nothing. You know, we read all of this. So when the Holy Instant comes and we really have that understanding, and, you know, it really replies to this paragraph we're going to read because it says, vision is sense quite literally. So I can't really put into words, but it was a sense of truth, I would say.
That's it.
That I had in that moment. Because as I read this paragraph, I said, wow, this is talking about that experience of Holy Instant that we all have at times.
A sense of certainty. That's why I've been calling it a new emotion lately. It's a sense of certainty. And for me, I describe it as I recognize that my knowing of the truth has become greater than my memories of any experience or anything I've ever learned. My knowing has become greater than my own memories. Andrew is falling into smallness and the truth is becoming larger. And Jacqueline's exactly how it feels because it's you are bringing illusion to the truth and the truth is unmoved by the illusion. Light shines away darkness. You can try to go into a dark closet and hold some darkness in your hand. and then bring it out of the closet to the light like you did, and you have been doing with Course in Miracles and truth, and you look to see the darkness, and you cannot. The light makes darkness disappear into the nothingness from which it came. That's a quote from the book. Yes, Emily.
Andrew, I was thinking about the word inconsequential and how it applies to when something like an illusion has kind of taken over or tries to, and then the sense of it being inconsequential opens up my focus to see what's true.
Very good.
What's eternal.
Yes. The beginning of the book, it says nothing real can be threatened and nothing unreal exists, which means that the things that have consequence to be harmful and threatened, they don't actually exist. They're not real. Your eternal nature, your infinite nature, spiritual nature, is completely untouched by any consequence of the world, time and space. Everything you see with your eyes is a projection. It's literally an illusion of being, not being. You yourself, identifying with the brain that's connected to the eyeballs with wires, that also, any harm to that is inconsequential. Especially the kind of harm that is emotional. That you have to really tell yourself the story and stay with it. And nobody else is aware but you inside your brain locker. Of course, calls it your own personal private hell. Your thoughts. Nobody else knows or feels like what you are. And then to become present, to come right now in between your thoughts. Nothing's happening, is it, Emily? Nothing is happening. Emily, between your thoughts, between my words, is anything even happening at all?
Empty.
It's empty. It's still. The Course says, it's in the workbook where you drop into the present, absolute present moment, discover that nothing is happening. But it also says in the text that in no single instant is anything happening, comma. You can't even die. It takes time to die, doesn't it? Didn't we say death is an ending? Ending of what? You would have to stop the clock. Watch the clock going. Okay, I'm still alive. Not alive. How do you know? Because the clock stopped and I'm not breathing. You don't die. You know, you can't even die in a single instant. In truth, you don't die at all. But that's for you to awaken to in your spiritual way. The reason will tell you you cannot die. Especially you cannot die a death. Everything here is inconsequential to you. Very good. Now, I'm not sure where you were going with that entirely, but just in case let's go one more step on the inconsequential vector before we jump into tonight's reading. Everybody turn to page 90 and let's look at a wonderful prayer, a call for help from your Holy Spirit, a call to reason, honest call to reason, page 90. Kenny, you want to read that for us? It's the italics on page 90. I think you've read this before. What do you think?
No.
I thought for sure you were going for yes this time. All right. Okay, Luann. What's that?
I'm going to practice this one.
Okay, all right, all right. Well, you should practice this one. Okay, Luann, you're unmuted. Give us the italics on page 90. This is calling on your Holy Spirit, calling on a correction, calling for reason, and pleading with you to recognize inconsequential nature of all your wrongdoing, all the stuff that you're so worried about. It's amazing. Please, Luann.
I must have decided wrongly because I'm not at peace. I made the decision myself, but I can also decide otherwise. I want to decide otherwise because I want to be at peace. I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. I choose to let him by allowing him to decide for God for me.
So how is it that the Holy Spirit undoes all the consequences of my wrong decision? It's all code, you know. This is all code here. But how does that happen?
I don't know how it happens, but I do know that I know this. I don't always believe it, but I know that I'm innocent, and so there's really nothing for me to be saying I've done wrong in the first place.
How can I get to inconsequential perspective? Emily, how do you get to a perspective where, wait a minute, there's actually no consequence?
Because it's not real.
Because it's not real. What's in the next sentence? We just read it. I choose to let the Holy Spirit, you know, undo all my consequences. Mm-hmm. By allowing the Holy Spirit to decide for God for me. See, God is code for the truth. God is code for oneness. God is code for love in this book. So you might read it, I choose to let him by allowing him to decide for love for me. And now all of your angst and all of your worries disappear because you're going back to the nature of oneness and of love. It fills your heart and your mind instantly. Is that anything you're talking about, Emily? You want to tell us more about your inconsequential word?
That seems to spell it out. And the feeling that I have in my own practice is to make my focus, that's not even the right way, it's to align, if that's not the right thing either.
I know, words you just have to stumble on, but go for it. Go for it, Emily.
I think Jacqueline was talking earlier about none of these qualities of charity, compassion, patience seem to be relevant when we are one. And it seems like that speaks to me because I would try to be compassionate. My motivation was there's some merit as a consequence of being charitable. So my motivation was, you know, based on I'll get something. And then, so the practice is to keep doing this, And then at some point, moments would happen where I wasn't trying and I was in the state of love.
Beautifully said. Not a giving to get.
Right.
The giving was enough.
Like the showing up. Showing up.
Yes.
To be present for this Spirit, Holy Spirit.
Wow, what a gift. Yes. Dropping your resistance. That's, of course, means by trust.
Trust.
Very good, Emily.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's what I do when I go to the Holy Spirit with the question. I say, how do I can do this with love? How can I look at this with love? How can I think of it with love? All I really want to do is, and sometimes I get an answer, and sometimes I don't, which probably means I'm not really asking.
Nice. But you're appealing to love. You're appealing to your Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You're asking for a miracle.
I'm asking. Well, okay. I had never thought of that as a miracle, but yeah, when I can come up with a way of expressing love rather than what I want, you know, rather than what I was doing before, it could be called a miracle, I guess. Yeah.
It's exactly a miracle, Luann. You see, a miracle is required when love is blocked. Miracles are not holy. Miracles are correction for having your eyes closed. Miracles just open your eyes to spirit, to the spirit component, to have you move from what you see, to close your eyes and open this eye to vision. So you're opening your vision with a miracle. No longer believing the differences that your brain would show you, looking for the sameness or the oneness that your mind will show you gladly. That's what love is, isn't it? Isn't love a sharing? Isn't love a sharing?
Yes.
Above all? You're asking to share. You say, how can I bring love? Because you're probably feeling some differences cropping up. You say, wait. That feels way too disconnected. How can I bring sharing? How can I bring love? How can I bring oneness? How can I bring trust into this situation? You bet. You're calling for a miracle, a shift in perception from whatever was getting dark. Now let's get some light going. Miracle's a correction. That's all. Jacqueline, what do you got?
Well, this sentence, I do not feel guilty because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences of my wrong decision if I will let him. And, you know, I thought about that before, but, you know, the bottom line is, it's because we're choosing. The Holy Spirit, I mean, isn't really doing anything other than revealing the truth. So it's all, I don't know, somehow I got that, you know, because I thought, well, that sounds pretty good. The Holy Spirit will undo all this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it didn't quite feel so.
You're busting your own ego.
I'm just getting it that that's a wonderful thing to say. And yes, that's true. And yet the real, I mean, in addition to that truth, I guess, is. It's up to me. It's up to my, you know, in my mind.
Jacqueline, you're like a kid who discovered Santa Claus isn't real. I'm loving this.
Yeah. You know, you said the right words exactly. The very last line is exactly what you said.
Like, the gig is up. The gig is up. Santa Claus isn't real. Well, I thought he was. A lot of people do. And that's right. And that's actually helpful to believe that the Holy Spirit is an entity that has the power to heal you. That's really helpful when your life is in the beep. It's really helpful to think that there's help out there. I mean, that's what else can you do, right? You're drowning. You're drowning. But there comes a day, and Jacqueline is illustrating for us when, wait a minute. You see, the Holy Spirit is part of your mind, not some other mind. So when you become aware of the Holy Spirit, like you are, Jacqueline, you're starting to feel reason, sense the truth. Then it's really personal. It's not out there. That would be otherness. That's in a projection in the dream of duality. The essence of oneness, the essence of the spiritual awareness is non-duality. Words will fail because words are used to make distinctions. But your feelings now are no longer being informed by separateness or by your ego. They're being informed by the experience of oneness, of love, of what you actually are.
Well, and it's acceptance of our total unconditional 100% innocence, which is not an easy thing to do from an ego perspective. So if you come to know you're told, you know, you just get that holy ensign of knowing your innocence, well, then everything is undone because you're purely innocent. So to so many levels or aspects to this, although it's probably pretty direct and simple too. So,
but that's right. Okay, Kenny, what do you got? I got your mute. Okay.
So I do not say I choose to let him by allowing him to decide for God. For me, I don't use those words. I just go along and say, oh, something happens. Like my clothes washer didn't work. Mm-hmm. So I called Baker Brothers, and I bought a bunch of appliances. She said, well, I could deliver it on the 11th. And I said, oh, okay. And then I go, I'm like, oh, hey, I could come pick it up. Is that okay? She said, oh, yeah. So that's what I'm doing, but I don't say, oh, Holy Spirit, help me. Yep. Do you do that?
Well, you know, all this is to slow you down.
Yeah.
No, I accept it coming so fast. These words are just slowing you down to show you what happened. Yeah. Kenny, where did the thought come from? Wait a minute. I could go pick it up.
I don't know where it came from.
I don't know where it came from.
I don't know where it came from.
It just popped in.
It just popped in, yeah.
Jacqueline doesn't know where this thought came from. She was as surprised as anybody. When the certainty of it doesn't matter. What is it? Doesn't mean anything. Yeah. What does this mean? Doesn't mean anything. Oh, it's so true. I could go pick it up. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The Course of Miracles is slowing it down so that you can see the mind. This isn't Course of Miracles too. I can say this. The mind does not actually operate in time. Time is a trick. It's a sleight of hand that you have made so you can do the separate experience. Time only is useful so that everything doesn't happen all at once. And space is only useful. It doesn't all happen to you. But in truth, the nature of oneness and wholeness, it's abstract. It happens instantly. And so, no, Kenny, I don't sit down with pencil and paper and write out the steps to access the Holy Spirit. I go with it. And
just happens. Just that's it.
Yeah.
It just happens. Right.
It just happens.
And then we got the story going again.
You could, there you go. You can look for a story and you can put characters on it and really slow the whole thing down.
Yeah.
But no, the grace is instant and instantaneous. Let me use another word for you that Course in Miracles uses. Course in Miracles says it's an undoing, doesn't it? Do you remember that word?
Undoing, yeah.
How long does it take to undo? I know doing can take time because there's details, but to undo? To not do? Yeah. There's no time at all to not do. In fact, I'm already not doing all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
That's how fast it is.
Okay.
Thank you, Kenny. That's right. That's right. You, my friend, are touching on the absolute nature. Jesus finishes the book, and it's in the Bible as well, with these words, I shall not leave you comfortless. Because before you can even ask, the answer is there.
Before I was in the grocery store, and a lady walked by, and I said, hi. And she said, that's nice. I was like, right? It's like, yeah.
Little communication.
Yeah.
Communication is based on joining.
Yes. Beautiful. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Kenny.
Okay.
We have all but run out of time to start our meeting. let's get a start on it, and we'll read it again next week as well. But let's just get a start on it so you can see now, after all this beautiful discussion we've had, what we're going to study next week. It's rich, and it's fundamental to how your mind works and the path, if you will, that your mind walks for your awakening. It turns out it's the same tool that your mind walked to go to sleep. But isn't that kind of in the same spot, the same tool, your mind, right where you think you are, we can turn it around and go back up the staircase to light. So page 474. And I think we are to Deborah. Deborah, I got your mute. Would you read for us Reasons and the Form of Error, page 474, paragraph 1.
Reason and the Forms of Error. The introduction of reason into the ego's thought system is the beginning of its undoing. For reason and the ego are contradictory, nor is it possible for them to coexist in your awareness. For reason's goal is to make plain and therefore obvious. You can see reason. This is not a play on words, for here is the beginning of a vision that has meaning. Vision is sense, quite literally. Like Jacqueline had, that's sense.
Yes.
If it is not the body's sight, it must be understood.
Understood. What a beautiful word.
For it is plain, and what is obvious is not ambiguous. It can be understood. And here do reason and the ego separate to go their separate ways.
Kenny understood. He felt and he understood that he could go pick the washer up. They had it and he wanted it. And he just understood that he could go get it. They were going to deliver it for free. That means they would spend gas money. They would bring, maybe unpackage it for him, maybe put it in his kitchen. All these benefits, the ego says, no, you have to let them deliver it in 2 or 3 days or weeks or whatever. Because there's some kind of a benefit to that you would. Kenny says, no, I want the machine today and I can have it today. Boom. An understanding. Yes. Beautiful, beautiful. Jacqueline, would you read the next paragraph, please? I got your meeting.
The ego's whole continuance depends on its belief you cannot learn this course.
Busted.
Share this belief and reason will be unable to see your errors and make way for their correction. For reason sees through errors, telling you what you thought was real is not. Reason can see the difference between sin and mistakes because it wants correction. Therefore, it tells you what you thought was uncorrectable can be corrected, and thus it must have been an error. The ego's opposition to correction leads to its fixed belief in sin and disregard of errors. It looks on nothing that can be corrected. Thus does the ego damn and reason save.
Isn't this a great section? And it goes on like that. We're going to read the whole thing next week, and then we'll dig in on paragraph 1. Thank you, everybody. It was a beautiful... beautiful contributions tonight. Thank you so much, everybody. Thanks for studying A Course in Miracles with me. And here's to your awakening.